In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a very attractive noon service. It might be something that we start taking on at St. John's as a new protocol. Very proud of you. I'm really glad to be with you this day, and I will tell you some of the reasons why as I continue this sermon. And first of all, I just absolutely love Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, I know that, you know, it's not like Christmas, and it's not like Easter, and everybody knows about those, and how fruitful they are in making your expense accounts go, you know, way out of whack. Good Shepherd Sunday is a theological expression of what the church thinks about Jesus. And so I realize when I talk about this very day, with the number of people coming forward to stand before the church for confirmation or reception or reaffirmation, I don't really want to make any enemies today, so I don't want to talk too long. I can usually read faces, so, you know, if it gets too long, somebody will let me know, probably somebody over here. So, the issue of Good Shepherd Sunday has in one sense to do with when John's gospel talks about the issue of Jesus saying, "I am the Good Shepherd." He's using that technical theological language. "I am" is an expression of who God is and therefore who Jesus is. "I am" is a statement about this theological relationship. And he goes on to say that they will listen to my voice. That is the sheep, those who follow Jesus. And when we talk about the Good Shepherd, there's this sense of identity with those who are followers, that they hear his voice and want to do what he has to say. Now, it's no surprise to note that the world in which we live right now has a cluster of voices that are offered in the world asking people to follow. And those cluster of voices sometimes are voices that bring about destruction. There are voices of revenge. There are voices of apathy. There are voices of accusation and fear. And, you know, if those were the voices that we were putting forward into the world thinking these are good voices to follow, I doubt that there would be this many people in this church this day. We have a different understanding. We have a different desire. We have a different hope that the voice that calls us each by name, which I'm going to talk about in just a little bit, is something that provides hope and understanding. Now, I want to just say one thing that is just a brief little example. When I was the rector of Holy Trinity in Melbourne, there was a window lower down behind the high altar, and it was filled with sheep. And when I would go up to the high altar to do the Eucharist in that setting, I would have a great look at the window. And it was a little weird because the window had sheep with human eyes. And so, you know, I didn't want to say anything at the time, but I looked at them and realized that somebody did that on purpose. And the purpose was to remind us humans that that we had a sense of relationship with the Christ, that it was being described as sheep, but you know, we know we're not sheep, and yet, well, you know, maybe we are a little bit. And so there was that one kind of teaching that I got every time I approached the high altar. And a worse one was this. So about 12 years ago, I went to the Lambeth conference in England with the global gathering of all of the Anglican bishops. And before the Lambeth conference began, we were to go to a variety of places in the United Kingdom and meet with the local bishops and staff. And I was sent to Carlisle, England. And in Carlisle, it was great. I got to stay in the Rose Castle, just about 10 miles from the Scottish border. And in Carlisle, it was a place where the Romans built the Hadrian's Wall. It was also the place, and some of you might remember this, it was also the place where the hoof and mouth disease began and spread. And so while we were there, there were four visiting bishops, including me. We got to meet with the shepherd. And I brought this particular, thank you, crozier today, because it's the one that's not stylized. It looks the most like the actual shepherd in the Carlisle area who was a caretaker of his sheep. And when I went into the house, I saw something just like this, a little bit shorter, right next to the front door, so that the shepherd would be able to take it and go out and take care of his sheep at a moment's notice. And this part was to reach down and grab a sheep away from danger. But they had hoof and mouth disease. Thank you. And what that meant was that the whole area was suffering food insecurity. And it also meant that while they were dealing with that particular issue in the Carlisle area, the shepherd who actually loved his sheep informed us of how he had to take their lives from them so that they would not spread any disease any further in England or Scotland. And he wept. And of course, I'll never forget that, because when he told us this, I think she wants to be with her mom too. when he told us this story, he wept because the whole land was silent. There was no bleeding. There were no animal noises. There was nothing to take care of. Now, it's not a good image because we don't think of Jesus ever taking our lives, but we do consider the fact that Jesus loves us so much, like the shepherd loved his sheep, that he did not want them to suffer unduly. So, finally, with the issues of insecurity and pain and voices that were calling out fear and uncertainty and violence, that we would hear things in the early 2000s that we did not want to hear. So the point that I'm trying to get to is in this ancient place of ancient practices of shepherding, there was something that came that was awful. So, now we are gathered in St. John's Church so that we can bring about the goodness of commitment, that people are offering their lives to do the best they can to bring out faithful living, to bring out living that is hope-filled, to bring out living that is embedded with faith. The last thing that I would want to say about this is very simple, that one of the joys that I get to have as bishop is actually holding a crozier and being reminded that I am supposed to love God's people and that God's people are supposed to love one another. And as we do so, we have the potential to make the world different. So, I don't know what the actual number is in here today, but I'm pleased to note that the actual number has the ability to already make the world in which we live different simply by the way you function. I would hope that at the conclusion of this particular service, when hands are laid on your heads, which is a gesture of asking the Holy Spirit to give you grace, strength, and purpose, that you feel a sense of power that you didn't feel when you came in. I'm also noting that at the conclusion of this service, that when I pray, the church is praying. There are people in each pew that when somebody comes forward for the special prayer of the Holy Spirit being offered and given, that we can expect that what you receive is not something that belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the clergy of this congregation. It doesn't belong to anybody that's here, but it is a gift of grace given by God. And I've seen too many times that when people receive this gift of grace, things actually do happen. Now, as you live, there will be moments in which something is realized that you didn't expect. And you don't need to suddenly be overly proud of something that you didn't make happen. But you can just be thankful. Therefore, when we leave this day, you don't have to be, well, I said it earlier, I'll just say it here. You don't need to be cocky. You just need to show up where God wants you to be. And when that happens, God will bring about goodness. And the fact that people who lived in a disaster area brought about goodness when there was hoof and mouth disease. People who lived in an area in which sheep were portrayed as human to help us understand who we follow, that you'll be reminded that there is a particular voice that we listen for. And that voice is the voice that takes us to heaven and helps us understand who we are. Now, here's the last section. I want to point out that I have the great sense of wonderful memory, in that I realize that today is the anniversary of my father's death. And I got to sit in the area where his desk was and sign all the confirmation cards. Furthermore, I get to have my daughter, priest, sitting here making sure I don't do anything wrong. And I get the joy of receiving her husband into the Episcopal Church and having two of our precious granddaughters here with us, with Mary and me. So this is a great day for me. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I am. So the last thing is just remind that we have Good Shepherd Sunday every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, because the church thinks it's important that we think about that. So we are. We have been, and we will. I'm done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.